Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning to you all. Your Lordship comes to you in the form of Mr. Tommy Lorenzo Hart, a former Christian preacher minister. He is author of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. My Lord would like to share the findings of his 38-year study on the contents of the book commonly known as the King James Bible, but which Mr. Hart says is the Vatican's one and only authorized version of the Bible. Our Father is not a Christian or a religionist. He has come to unravel Vatican deception by decrypting Bible content. Our Lord brings to light the secrets of the Vatican and reveals the now 400-year stratagem with the level-headed study and analysis unlike any other. His Excellency unscrambles the authorized version's confusing text and separates truth from fiction. He defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, and God. His premise, the King James Version, written in 1611, is a book of law, the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white. The Vatican is a governmental body, institution, for the purpose of subjugating all non-white people and undermining all whom they call black or African people worldwide through what Vatican law deemed the curse. All while hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion, using the Bible in perversity and deceit. Mr. Hart's bibliography is the King James Bible, the authorized version of the Roman Catholic Church, a product of the Vatican. So without further ado, I want to introduce the host of the show, my Lord, Tommy Hart. Father, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Welch, and thank you. Greetings to everyone. And this is Law Master coming to you. This program is about the law, Bible law, that is, and that's one of my, that is Tommy Hart's, one of my findings is the Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, is a law book. It is not a religious book, though it is used in religion. It is used perversely in religion, but the AV, the Authorized Version Bible, is a law book through and through. From that finding, everything else I have found during the course of my scrutiny and analysis of the AVB, Authorized Version Bible, is based on that fact that the AVB is indeed a law book. And what else have I found? I have found the laws that are in the AVB. There are a few major laws in the AVB. One is the papacy's law of the curse against African people, black people. Another is the papacy's law of Passover. And the other major law is the law of God. Other findings of mine include the papacy's promises to God, the papacy's expectations concerning God, Of course, there are other things, and those things, as well as the major laws and the things I just mentioned, can be read line upon line from my book, which is the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. I would like to say here at first that one can order my book, the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. And you can read those laws line upon line. Now, if you use the Bible, it is impossible for one to read the law of Passover, the law of God, or the papacy's infamous law of the curse against African people. It is impossible to read any of those laws line upon line using the Bible. In the Bible, in the AVB, those laws, parts making up those laws, are chopped up, scattered about, fractured, and scattered about throughout Bible content. I've said before that the Bible has facts in it, it has truth in it, and it has fiction in it. Truth is found scattered throughout the Bible, mixed in with the fictitious things of fiction. So what I have done, I have separated truth from fiction using Bible material. What I've discovered is the heart of the Bible. That is the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. I have discovered its heart. And when I say heart, I mean the crucial material, the most important material found in the Bible. That material in the Bible is hid. As I said, truth is chopped up, it's fractured, and scattered about throughout Bible, the rest of Bible content, mixed in with the other things of Bible content, fiction. Truth and fiction. I've separated truth from fiction. The statement in Genesis chapter 1 says it this way with regard to what I've done. It says in Genesis 1:4, and God divided the light from the darkness. What that means is just what I've said. I have separated truth from fiction. And light means, as a reference to knowledge, intelligence, wisdom. It says in Proverbs 6:23, the law is light. Okay. Let me turn to that, see if there's anything else in that verse. Proverbs 6:23. It says, for the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Now, what laws did I say I have discovered in the AZP? I have discovered the law of the papacy's curse against African people. I have discovered the law of Passover, and I have discovered the law of God. Okay? I have discovered the heart of the Authorized Version Bible. Now, as I was saying before, you can order my book by writing to me or calling me, Tommy Hart. That's P.O.B. 2252, P.O.B. 2252, Hepzibah, Georgia. Hepzibah is spelled H-E-T-H-Z-I-B-A-H. That is H-E-T-H-Z-I-B-A-H. all right to me. Okay, now, the S and A of the AZB, a.k.a. KJV, that is to say, the scrutiny and analysis of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as King James Version, the S and A of the AZB, a.k.a. KJV. This isn't what I've done and what I speak on this program, my information. Here of late, I've been speaking about the poor man and his complaint. Before that, I have spoken on the law, each of the major laws that I cited. I've spoken on those laws, the law of the curse, the law of Passover, the law of God. I've spoken on the judgment of God. And all of this information, all of it, this isn't about did slavery ever exist. This isn't about did the Gentiles, a.k.a. white people, combine forces to invade Africa, conquer Africa, and enslave its inhabitants for gain. This isn't about did the Gentiles engage in and commit such an immoral and inhumane act as the forced mass procreation and production of slave children for profit. Neither is this about was slavery good or was slavery evil. What this is about is, does the Authorized Version Bible speak on the issue of the Gentiles' conquest and enslavement of African / black people? And if so, what does it say? Who said it? And what is the significance of that which is stated? Now, in arriving at answers to those questions, we find out not only what the AZ Bible is about, but also we find out what the AZ Bible is essentially, and we discover what the AZ Bible is not. As I've said, I've discovered that the Authorized Version Bible is a law book. It is not a religious book. And consider this also, that the Bible is used by the Gentiles in religion. It is also used by the Gentiles in their courts of law. Okay, you place your hand, one of your hands on the Bible, and you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And once the AZ Bible is found out, we learn of hidden truths, crucial information coming from the papacy. But not only that, we also get an in-depth first-hand account of afflictions, Africans / black people suffered at the hands of the papacy and the Gentiles. So throughout the course of my S&A of the AZB, my focus was set on the content of the AZB. Once scrutinized and analyzed, the question was raised, what says the content? Now that is where I am today. I am declaring to the world that which the crucial content of the AZB puts forth, that which it teaches, and that which it upholds, and, if you will, that which you should believe. My S&A of the AZB resulted in this primary conclusion. The AZB is first and foremost a law book. My S&A of the AZB yielded the discovery of several major papal laws, one of which is the papacy's law of curse against God / black people. The papacy's curse is the root or origin of the law papacy is the root or origin of the curse. That is to say, the curse originated from the papacy, from the Vatican. Let me turn to a statement in Deuteronomy. I didn't mark it. I might have to get that later. But anyway, the statement says, the secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed belong unto us. I want you to remember, the secret thing, here we go, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Okay? But those things which are revealed, those things which are revealed. What have I said thus far? I have said that I have discovered and I reveal to you three major laws in the Bible. The papacy's law of the curse, the papacy's law of Passover, and the papacy's law of God. The secret things belong unto the Lord, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. We are living in the day and time when the secrets of the Bible are being revealed. I am revealing in the dispensing of my information secrets found in the Bible. Okay? Crucial Bible material. Crucial. Important, weighty matter of the Bible. Okay? And I refer to that weighty matter as crucial information. Okay? Those things that are revealed. The things that are revealed tell us much about things that have been going on before this revelation. The things that are revealed declare to us, show to us lies that many people have been living under. Lies many people have been caused to believe and take as truth. The secret things, the things which are revealed. I reveal the secret matter of Bible content. And that matter is important to you. These revelations of mine are important to you, the hearer. Very important. The curse against Africans/black people is in the AVB. The AVB is a papal product. Now, let me slow down just a little bit. There are people who will say black people are not cursed in the Bible. There are people who will say, ain't no curse in the Bible. There is no curse in the Bible. Well, the Bible speaks to the contrary. Clearly. All one has to do is turn to Galatians. Okay, and I'm turning to it. at this time. And if I can find a statement here without any trouble, yeah, here we go. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Because the Bible speak about cursing, people being cursed. Believe me, people, there are some people that the Bible says are cursed, and we can know them. It may not sound good, but somebody has said the truth is the light. Okay, Galatians 3:13 says this: Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, having the designation of law. Word "of" there, having the designation of, or the curse coming from. Of means coming from, the curse coming from the law. Listen, the end of the statement: cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Okay, but my point is just to show that the Bible speaks about the law of the curse, or the curse of the law. Okay? Now, John 7:49. John 7:49. Listen. But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. That statement says certain people, or a certain people, or certain people are cursed. And it says one distinction, one attribute of them is they don't know the law. I just read from Galatians 3:13, the curse of the law. Now it says this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Let me ask the question. Do you know the law of the curse that is in the Bible? Did you know of it in detail before hearing anything from me? This people who knoweth not the law are cursed. I can't get away from that. It's in front of me. The curse of the law, Galatians 3:13, that's in front of me. I can't get away from it, and I can't act as though it's not there. People who knoweth not the law are cursed. Law of the curse. Ask yourself, what people, what individuals, what group does not know the law that is in the Bible? All right. Turn to Deuteronomy 28. Now, a lot of people know about this chapter. Deuteronomy 28. And it speaks of curse. It speaks of curse. Deuteronomy 28:15. To the end. Let me read the whole verse. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, cursed shalt thou be in the field, cursed shall be thy basket and thy store, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, your children, and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. People, these are not words to be taken lightly. The words I just read, the words I read from John 7:49, just people who knoweth not the law are cursed. The statement I read from Galatians 3:13, the curse of the law. All right. Curses. These curses. All right. Listen. Deuteronomy 28:25. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. All right? Black people were smitten before their enemies, the Gentiles. Black people are not the only people who have been smitten by the Gentiles, but black people are indeed one of the people who have been smitten by the Gentiles. Black people do not know, they are not knowledgeable of the law of the curse. They are not knowledgeable of the law of Passover. They are not knowledgeable of the law of God. Other people too. Black people are not in the boat by themselves. And shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. That's a part of the curse. And all one has to do is go to Revelation 18, verses 12 through 13, and see what group of people is found in that statement. All right? All right. And Deuteronomy 28:29, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore. What group of people has been oppressed? By the Gentiles. Maybe more than one group of people. But let's face this. Let's answer the questions. Let's answer the questions. What group of people has been, or what groups of people have been oppressed and spoiled by the Gentiles? Answer the question. And it says there, no man shall save thee. All right? Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Did the Gentiles do that to a group of people? Maybe more than to one group. They could come in your house and lie with your wife, and you couldn't do anything about it. You know, I'm speaking about your ancestors. Things pass. Okay? All right? Listen, Deuteronomy 28:31, thine ass shall be violently taken away from thee, from before thy face. Thine ass shall be violently taken away. What people were taken away from their own homeland? Maybe more than one group of people. Answer the question. I'm speaking about curses from the Bible. Knowledge is good. The only way we can overcome the evil is through knowledge. Through knowledge. And I'll get to that point and speak to that matter later on in the program. And, of course, I would like for Mr. Wells to get ready to come with the announcements. And later on in the program, I have a very important revelation to share with you. So let me finish this out. Mr. Wells, get ready for the announcements. Deuteronomy 28:32, thy sons and thy daughters shall be given to another people. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always. Has that happened to a people? Has it happened to more than one group of people? Land taken, all your labors used to another's good and advantage, been oppressed, been crushed, defeated, suffered a mighty military defeat at the hands of the enemy. And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. Has your group, your race, ever been led away from their home to a strange land, served a strange people. Listen, thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in. Listen, Deuteronomy 28:41, thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Look at your past. Think about your past. Has there ever been a time when your ancestors did not enjoy their own children? Last week I spoke about the Gentiles' mass breeding of slaves. The Gentiles' mass and forced breeding of slaves. The question is, as I stated earlier, what does the Bible say? What does it say? It's time that we take a good look at it. The Bible talks about people. It talks about people. All these statements are about people, real people, people who lived, people who live now. This people which knoweth not the law is cursed. So my people now. And as far as begetting sons and daughters and not enjoying them, it's talking about your ancestors. Talking about those of your ancestors going into captivity. You are in captivity. The descendants of African/black people who were scattered about by means of the Gentiles' infamous slave trade, their descendants. Are still in captivity. They were not returned to their place of origin. Blacks are still scattered throughout the Roman Empire and under the control of the Roman Empire and its head, the papacy. All right? And Deuteronomy 28:43, thou shalt come down very low. I can't say it in no other words than these right here. You don't get lower than a slave. Thou shalt come down very low. Your people ever been brought low by the Gentiles? We're taking an honest, close look at what the Bible says about enslavement and afflictions. Deuteronomy 28:44. He shall be the head, thou shalt be the tail. Do your people make up the head? Or do your people make up the tail? Which one? Are your people the ones who set the pattern for the rest of the others? Or do your people, for the most part, take a follow role? You follow. Do they follow? Or do they lead? Because the Bible says here, one, he shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be, hard words, till thou be destroyed. Have the Gentiles ever destroyed a group of people, a race of people? Yes, they have. All of these things that I read about in Deuteronomy 28 speak about a destroyed people. Until thou be destroyed. talking about curses, Bible curses, papal curses, papal, and it says the Lord. The Lord. Let me go back and repeat Deuteronomy 28:15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command you, which I command thee this day. And that I there is a reference to the Lord. And the Lord is a reference to the papacy. Deuteronomy 28:25, the Lord shall cause thee to be smitten. I'm not talking about a Lord up in the sky. I'm talking about the Lord over in Vatican City, Rome, Italy. The papacy, the Lord, the papacy, Pope. All right? The Bible is a papal product. It is a papal product. And these curses speak of, they are papal curses. And these things that I've read coming from Deuteronomy chapter 28, these things happened to black people. Black people came down very low. Verse 43. Black people begat sons and daughters, and they did not enjoy them. And those sons and daughters went into captivity to the Gentiles. Black people were violently taken away from their land. That's verse 31. Thine ass shall be violently taken away. Okay. Those are curses that the papacy put forth, delivered to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles carried out. The Gentiles implemented the curse and carried out the terms of the curse. Okay? Papal product. The curse is a papal product set down by the papacy. Those are the papacy. Delivered to the Gentiles, and the Gentiles implemented the curse and carried out the terms of the curse against the said group. Your people are tail or your people are head. All right, let me go on. Mr. Welch, we can have the announcements now, please. And following the announcement, I'll come back and I'll make a very important statement and present a very important revelation. Mr. Welch?
You're listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio with His Excellency, Tommy Hart. We encourage everyone to please call in with questions and comments. The number is 718-664-6262. Again, 718-664-6262. And don't forget to visit the website, lawmaster.co. Pick up a copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God. The manuscript is easy to read. A text your lordship compiled, the result of 38 years of study and analysis, unraveling the truth of Bible content. Join the site freely, become a member, and post videos and photos. Email us with your feedback and link us to Facebook, Twitter, and other networking sites of your choosing. Help us spread the word. Remember, you can find Mr. Hart's interviews on YouTube. Search Law of Gods. If you feel it's time to break a half-millennium spell of religious enslavement, you've tuned into the right channel. Keep listening to The Lawmaster right here on Blog Talk Radio. Break free of Vatican deception.
Thank you, Mr. Welch, for those announcements. And I'm leading you into an insightful look about did the Gentiles, or what does the Bible say about the enslavement era? Okay. And we looked at three statements. Statement one coming from Galatians 3:13, and we saw the law of the curse. We went to John 7:49, where it is stated, the papacy stated that this people, which know not the law, are cursed. What I do, I provide names. I clarify the matter. Where the papacy said, this people who know it not the law, I clarify, and I name a people who don't know the law. And it's speaking about Bible law. Okay? And then we went to Deuteronomy 28, looked at several statements there regarding the curse. And taking a serious and unbiased look at some of the terms stated in Deuteronomy 28. I will continue, and as I said later on, do not miss this important statement that I will make. It's very important, so stay tuned to Lawmaster Law of God broadcast here. Now I will continue my lecture, and if you're listening, please call in. I don't have that call-in number in front of me. No, I don't. Don't have it in front of me. But if you see it, you know, from where you are, call in and take a part in the conversation after my lecture. All right, let me continue. Okay, I said the curse against Africans / black people is in the AVB. And keep in mind, black people are not in the boat by themselves, okay? The AVB is a papal product. The curse, which is found in the AVB, is a papal product. The papacy delivered the curse to the Gentiles. The Gentiles carried out all the terms written in the AVB against Africans / black people. All right. Some of the terms written in the law which the Gentiles carried out against black people are: one, the military defeat of the Africans / black people. And you can see that in a statement with regard to that in Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, and Deuteronomy 28:49. Okay. I don't know whether I read that 49th verse of Deuteronomy or not. Okay, I'll read it now. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flying, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. I know that these are past events, but these past events have made us what we are. Okay? A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Think about black people's experience throughout the enslavement era. Okay? Listen, in verse 51 of Deuteronomy 28, we have the statement again, until thou be destroyed. And at the end of verse 51, until he have destroyed thee. And destroy means to bring to total defeat. It means to break up or spoil completely, ruin. Okay, all right. The military defeat of the Africans / black people. Then bringing the Africans into captivity, Jeremiah 43:11. See if I can turn to it right quickly. Jeremiah 43:11. I'll read, but okay. And deliver such as are for death to death, and such as are for captivity to captivity, and such as are for the sword to the sword. Okay. And if I can find this statement right quickly. Revelation. Okay, here we go. Revelation 11:7. The Gentiles were ordered by the papacy to make war against the African people, overcome the African people, and kill them. Isn't that something? And of course, many Africans were killed during the Gentiles warring against the Africans, and many were taken into captivity. All right? Enslaving those held in captivity. These are some of the terms of the law. Enslaving those held in captivity. Psalm 107:39. And again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. We see that these are not just words on a page. Those words were implemented. Those words were carried out to the letter. And by those words, the words that I've read from Deuteronomy and all like that, by those words, people's lives, a life was changed, lives were changed, history was changed. By those words, the history of a people was changed. All right, moving on. Scattering the captives, another term of the law of the curse, Genesis 11:8. Genesis 11:8. So the Lord scattered them abroad. Black people were scattered by means of the Gentile slave trade. Who bears the responsibility? The Lord. The Bible says the Lord scattered them abroad. How did the Lord scatter black people abroad? By means of the Gentiles. The Gentiles scattered black people throughout the Roman Empire. The Lord takes the credit. Because the Lord was their God. The Lord was their leader. The Lord was the writer of the word. We go around talking about the word, the word, the word, the word. I'm reading the word. The word that affected you greatly in a mighty way. I'm reading the word that affected you, turned you around from a free people to a captive people, from a unified people to a disunified people. I'm reading the word. Are you reading with me? All right, another term of the curse, breeding the enslaved, Genesis 8:17. the word says they may breed abundantly. And, all right, they may breed abundantly. The Gentiles did just that. They breeded, or they bred the Africans, the slaves. They bred the slaves. And they produced abundantly. Be fruitful. Be productive. Producing much. And multiply. A term that's used for animals. The slaves were multiplied. They were bred as animals. All right. Another term of the curse, merchandising the enslaved captives. Revelation 18, 12 through 13. I won't read the full statement. I've read it before. Revelation 18. All right. It starts out, verse 12, the merchandise of gold and silver, and it ends, it's talking about merchandise, it ends with sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves, merchandise. Okay? All right. It is clear the AVB does speak to the issue of the takeover of Africa and the enslavement of its people, among other things. But now, slavery has been abolished and outlawed throughout the Roman Empire. What do we do? Do we all just forget that it ever existed? Do we act as though nothing ever happened? Is that all the AVB has to say? Has it nothing more to say? I have spoken at length on the poor man and his complaint. Now, I will see if the, Now I will show what thing the poor man has asked of God. Psalm 10:14, the poor commits himself to thee, that is to God, thou art the helper of the fatherless. All right? The poor man has said to God, I am poor and needy. Psalm 40:17. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Psalm 119:134. Deliver me from the oppression of man, from the wicked. Psalm 17:9. So will I keep thy precepts. Matthew 6:13. Deliver us from evil. Isaiah 37:20. Now therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand. Psalm 35:10. Lord, who is like to thee, which delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, from him that spoils him. All right, we have a footnote that is John 10:29, and that footnote says, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Now, here is the poor man's prayer without pausing to give the references. So the poor man prayed to God, saying, I am poor and needy. Thou art my help and deliverer. Deliver me from the oppression of man, from the wicked. So will I keep thy precepts. Deliver us, he's speaking, you know, not only for himself now, but for all his people. He says, deliver us from evil. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, save us from his hand, his, the one that is too strong for them. Save them from their hand. The poor man has asked God for deliverance. He has asked God in behalf of his people to deliver and save them from the power of the papacy. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2 sums up the poor man's prayer, saying that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. Let's see here. Where'd that go? Hold on one moment. Okay. Here we are. The poor man's expectation of God is set in Psalm 18:17. He, God, delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. The poor man's intent is seen in Psalm 18:3. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. But notice in Psalm 17:6 he says to God, I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. Okay, he makes it clear. He's already called upon God, but he says, future-wise, thou wilt hear me, O God. Incline thine ear to me and hear my speech. In short, what does the poor man ask of God? He, the poor man, asks God for salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is a saving or being saved from evil, from the evil one. Now, by what means does he expect salvation to come? An answer comes in Matthew 11:5. It says, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor, the cursed, the oppressed, the afflicted, those made poor at the hands of the Gentiles, those afflicted, those oppressed by the Gentiles, the Bible says the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now the question is, what is the gospel? Gospel here is a reference to truth. So the poor have the truth preached to them. That's not taking place now. So then it must be a future event. Well, it's a present event because I'm teaching the truth now. I'm speaking on the truth now on this program, Raw Masters Law of God broadcast. I'm speaking on the truth. I'm speaking to the poor. I'm speaking to others as well. But I'm speaking to the poor also. The poor have the gospel. They have the truth preached to them. Mr. Welch, do we have any more announcements?
Thank you, Father. To the listeners, if you would like to receive your copy of the manuscript, The Book of the Law of God, go to www.lawmaster.co. That's www.lawmaster.co. On the left side of the webpage, click the manuscript and the PayPal button inscribed Donate. For a $12 donation, you will be redirected to a link and download your very own copy in PDF format. Also, become a member to the website and post videos, photos, and take advantage of the links, free books, and email feature amongst members. You can also visit us on YouTube. Go to www.youtube.com/Law of Gods. Again, youtube.com/Law of Gods. One word. You can find Mr. Hart on Facebook. Simply type The Book of the Law of God. You may post on the news feed any stories, links, videos, and articles relating to the context of the show. Feel free to start discussions, ask questions, make comments, and dialogue. You can now follow His Excellency on Twitter. That's twitter.com. Search Tommy L. Hart. Again, Tommy L. Hart. You will find these links here on the show page. And remember, keep listening to Lawmaster on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you. Back to you, my lord.
Thank you, Mr. Welch. And I would like to ask those of you listening, please continue to listen, even though the streaming may have stopped. Please continue to listen for that very important statement I will make. It's an astounding revelation, and it's coming up very shortly. You know, we can evade the matter. I'm not going to evade the matter because the Bible does not evade the matter of my people's enslavement to the Gentiles. And as you see from listening program and following this program, that the Bible speaks very much about the matter. So it is a very important matter to the papacy and the Gentiles. Okay? Now, let me continue. We come to the astounding revelation. Now, these things, the foregoing, tell us what? The foregoing give us this astounding revelation. The teaching, preaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior is counteractive to salvation. And two, the poor, the oppressed, do not know what they need to be saved from. And three, listen. To date, none of the poor, none of the oppressed have been saved. No, not one. The teaching, preaching of Jesus as Savior and Lord is counterproductive to salvation. The teaching, preaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior is a preventive tool of the papacy and Gentiles to keep the poor and the oppressed under their hand and to keep them, the poor and the oppressed, dumbed down and void of the truth and out of truth's way. Salvation. The salvation that the Bible speaks of is that which I read from the Bible and from the poor and needy's request, their prayer to God to be delivered from evil, to be delivered out of the hand of their enemies, to be delivered from him or them that were too strong for them and that spoiled them. Deliverance. 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 All right. I can go on and I can say more to the matter, but that's it. The only thing left here is the crucial question that is set in Acts 16:30. Okay, Acts 16:30, and I want to read it, so I'm turning to it. The crucial question, then, with regard to the poor man's request that he be delivered from his enemies and from them that are too strong from them, he be delivered from them that have spoiled him, that have oppressed him, that have afflicted him and his people. Do you fit in this equation or in this matter? Do you fit? Do you see yourself? Do you see your people? Do you see anybody? Somebody fits here. Somebody has been oppressed, a people. Somebody has been afflicted, a people. And somebody, a people, or people, are still under the hand of their enemy. They are still under the power and control of their enemy. They're in church, you know, getting ready to go to church right now, many of them. All right? The crucial question, Acts 16:30, says simply this. When you think about the poor man and his request, his prayer to God for deliverance, here is the crucial question. Acts 16:30. Seven words. a seven-word question. What must I do to be saved? Salvation is about saving. Saving from danger, saving from evil, etc. It's about being saved from something that one deems bad, dangerous, evil, difficult. Salvation. What must I do to be saved? Salvation is a saving, being saved from difficulty, danger, etc., the things that I said. Okay? What must I do to be saved? And Acts 16:17, we at the end of the statement, we have, show to us the way of salvation. What is the way of salvation? I have three statements here. The way of salvation is the way of the knowledge of the truth. That's one. Two, truth comes from God. That's Bible. God, it says, God shall send forth his truth and his mercy. God. Truth comes from God. And three, you must hear, believe, accept, and act on the knowledge of the truth that comes from God in order to be saved. That's what salvation is all about. Salvation is about something that's real, tangible, knowable, doable. Salvation is you have the curse, you have the difficulty of the of being oppressed, the evil of being oppressed, afflicted, etc. One needs to be saved from that. Of course, now throughout the Roman Empire, slavery has been banned slavery has been outlawed, okay, throughout the Roman Empire. But what? The oppressed, the afflicted are still under the power. They are still under the control of their enemy. And that's what the poor man in his request asks to be delivered from. And who does he ask? He asks God. So, by the knowledge of the truth comes deliverance, salvation, a saving, a rescue from the enemy. That is my lecture for today. Keep in mind the astounding revelation that the teaching of and preaching of Jesus as Lord and Savior is counteractive to salvation. And those who are in need of salvation do not know what they need to be saved from. Isn't that something? And to date, none of the poor, none of the oppressed have been saved. No, not one. Mr. Welch, that's it for today. Do we have any callers online?
We have one caller, area code 916. If you have a question or comment, your line is open at this time.
He's breathing. There's a lot of distortion, however, in the line. Can you hear me? Yeah,
yes, sir, can hear you. Yes, sir. We can hear you fine. Good morning.
Yeah, Mr. Wolf, there's a lot of noise in the background.
There okay, I'm going to mute myself out and take care of that real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. Very informative broadcast. Very informative broadcast. And I had kind of assumed that salvation came through God, although we had not spoke on it before. I kind of made that assumption already. I'm wondering if you had also made that assumption, Mr. Welch.
Have you heard?
Yes.
Okay, how's the sound? Is that much better?
I'm afraid not.
Okay, I'm going to mute myself out again and see if I can take care of this problem.
Okay. You want to continue, Mr. Negro?
No, sir. At this point, I was hoping to get.
I would say I'm back now. How's that?
Oh, it's much better.
Yes.
Okay. You've asked the question. Salvation coming from God. Do I feel the same? And my answer is, if not God, from who? I look at the condition of our people, and in my lifetime, there are many things that have been tried, and to date, it appears as though we are still under the control, under the rule of the Vatican. And so, you know, that's why I like for us to really hear what Mr. Hart speaks, because really to date there has not been a scrutiny, an analysis, or a study, an analysis of Bible content that I know of up to this point of our sojourn. And there are many things that we can draw from in today's broadcast. I mean, I don't think there's been a broadcast up to this point with such meat, a very meaty, a very weighty, and compelling compilation of evidence to back up the strong indictment that we have before us. So I would just that's my take on it.
No, thank you for your response, sir.
Yes, sir.
Let me just clarify one thing. Mr. Wells said to date there hasn't been a scrutiny and analysis of Bible content. I think what he actually meant was, to date, there hasn't been another coming from someone else. There hasn't been another scrutiny and analysis of Bible content because I've done it. Okay, so I don't think, I just want to clarify that. There has been a scrutiny and analysis of Bible content, which I have done, but I think Mr. West was saying, to his knowledge, no one else has done that.
And thank you for clearing that up. That is exactly what I meant. But I would ask you, Mr. Hart, the things that you have brought up through your scrutiny analysis. If I were, you know, a white person tuning into the show, my first thought would be that, you know, oh, he's talking about slavery. Here we go again. You know, this is something that happened in the past. You know, my ancestors didn't have anything to do with that. We came over here on ships as immigrants. You guys are, you know, what would I say? I would say that, you know, you guys suffer from an inferiority complex. You guys are always playing the victim. You need to get over it. That was in the past. What would you say to something like that? Because I don't know if there's anything that can be said, but I'm just telling you that that is something that I hear all the time. Can you speak on that, sir?
Okay, my response to that would be simply, then do away with the Bible then, because it's all over the Bible. And they use the Bible every week in their religious services. Do away with the Bible. Simple. Do away with the Bible. Because the Bible talks about it. And when I open my Bible, it's right there before my eyes. And they put it in a book, the papacy put it in a book to be seen, to be read, to be known. And if they don't like it, that's just them, for those who don't like it. I'm not going to get over it. Just simple as that. I am not going to get over it. It's a big deal with me. Say about me what you want to say about me. That's your business. But as long as I'm here and able to, I will not get over it. The Bible places great importance to the matter of Gentile enslavement, scattering, breeding, everything else of black people. So if they don't like it, throw away the Bible. And do away with the papacy, because it originated from the papacy.
Well said. If I may play devil's advocate again, one more time, really quick, sir. What if I was the average black so-called Christian and approach and say, well, you know, you said yourself that the Vatican has outlawed enslavement. They gotten rid of it. You know, it's no longer, you know, it's something that happened in the past. You know, and then you also stated that, you know, in the church we teach that Jesus forgives. He comes back to fulfill the law. You know, we ought to let you know, these people off the hook for what they've done. Can we all get along and love each other in the kingdom of heaven? Can we bring that in? Why do we have to keep rehashing things that have happened to us in the past? What would you say to that, sir?
I probably wouldn't let them go as far as you, and say as much as you said. I probably would have been interrupted that statement. That's foolishness.
Yeah. Hmm.
It's foolishness.
I totally agree. And because they still profit from it today. Oh, I'm sorry, sir.
That's a true matter. But like I said, it's still in the Bible. And the teaching and preaching of Jesus is, what did I say? It's counterproductive to truth. Counterproductive to truth. Counteractive and counterproductive, both of them. The Bible teaches the gospel of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It teaches the truth of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, showing that Jesus, the character of Jesus, is a criminal with a band of men who deliberately and can't wait to break the law. That's their intent, breaking the law. Jesus and his band of men in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's why it's called the gospel, the gospel. They call them the four gospel books because the gospel is set forth there, and you can't erase it. I would have been irritated at the statement. Somebody making that statement to me out there, it would have been irritation just to listen to it. Need to know the truth. We need to know the truth. I'm glad that I know the truth, that I've learned the truth of Bible content. I am glad myself. I can speak for myself.
I'm glad. As am I.
Okay.
Start with the interruption.
Now go ahead if you want to say. Yeah, I'm happy.
I've come across people who have said that to me as well. You know, will say, well, that happened a long time ago, and you know, why do we still have to harp on it? You know, things have changed.
Let me interrupt. We don't harp on it. That's the thing. We don't harp on it.
Exactly. And I have pointed that out.
There is no conversation going on. As far as I know, I'm the only one speaking on the matter to the extent that I do. Go ahead.
No, exactly. I will always point them to the fact that Hollywood never lets us forget about what happened to the so-called Jews. They never let us forget about what happened on Pearl Harbor. They never
Good
let us
point.
Forget about the so-called Civil War.
Good.
All those things
Good
happened in the past as well.
Good point. Every damn one of them.
Exactly.
All right. Good point. I couldn't have said it any better. Thanks for that. Yeah. I mean, if your past is not important enough to you to keep and to hold, the bad along with the good. The bad along with the good. I can't help it. I can't help the things that have happened to us in our past. But I'm not going to forget it. As I learn it, I will not forget it. And I will hold that dear. My people were slaves. I have to hold that dear. And what can I do? What can I do? Wherein my people have been deceived, I can try to inform them. Inform them. That's what I can do. I can fight for the acknowledgement of truth and for the propagation of truth. Because we need truth. Because we've been deceived. Okay, you deceived. You want to stay deceived? That's ignorant. I mean, that's crazy. You don't mind being deceived. The Bible says a wise person will hear. Will hear. And like I said, if you don't like those things, then do away, number one, with the Bible. Do away with the papacy. Do away with church, because all of those things are related. They are related and cannot be separated. The church stands to resist the truth. Simple as that. But I said before, if you want the truth, you won't find it in church. If you want the truth of Bible content, you go to church and you get fed lies. But the truth of the matter, the truth of Bible content has been found out, and that is great. That is wonderful. That is huge. The truth of Bible content. The Bible speaks about revelation. What did I say? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong to the Lord. But those things that are revealed. And what I speak on is revealed truth. Revealed truth.
That's right. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can be heard.
I'm sorry, sir. Complete your thought.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to point out that when we're talking about analysis of Bible content, or just an analysis of history, or an analysis of current events and what is happening in the world, there are two takes on what is actually happening. There is the truth, and then there's the fairy tale. And you can look around you and see who is embracing the fairy tale and who is embracing the truth. More often than not, those who are in power are the architects of the fairy tale, of the story that the masses seem to be under a spell of. But then you'll find certain people, certain Gentiles, who they will slip and reveal truth, whatever reason. And there's a lot of reading at the current moment, and the author states as one of her points under the heading "Believe It or Not." This one is very interesting. It's number 7, and it says, the Pope can abolish any law in the United States and Canada. The Pope's laws are obligatory. The Pope has ordered the genocide and enslavement of millions of people. Now, this is from a Gentile, okay? She didn't say the genocide and enslavement of millions of Africans. Nonetheless, we know what she is talking about. Yes, we don't harp over this issue. In fact, it is the Gentiles that harp over their issues. We're taught that if we are to bring up grievances, whether they be past or present, that somehow we're playing the victim role. And, you know, we should pull ourselves up by, you know, stop whining and pull ourselves up by the bootstraps. But here it is again. Over the weekend, I watched a lengthy video called "The Roman Empire Rules Today." This video was almost 2 hours long. Well, this Gentile is going through scripture along with actual events that are taking place with the previous Pope, mostly Pope John Paul, where he points out that how the Roman Empire is still in rulership today. So it really just seems as though the only people that are not talking about it are the poor man and his people.
Let me say this. Let me break in before I forget this. Isn't that what I said today? I spoke about us still being in the Roman Empire today.
Yes,
I made two allusions, I know, to it. With the present-day Roman Empire. Go ahead.
Yes, I just, the Gentiles who, you know, break rank, and because of it, you know, risk losing their benefits and power. They seem to be able to come to grips, because even they don't want to be under rulership of the Roman Empire.
I don't know about that. That's a stretch right there.
It is?
Yeah, that's a stretch right there.
Well, then answer this. Why would they reveal this evidence about the Roman Empire being in rulership today?
That's not so much of a secret to me. Because all you have to do is go to the White House or go to the Congress building and all like that, and you'll see all this Roman stuff in it.
Yes, sir.
You see all this Roman stuff. Governmental
the fascia.
You see
That's
all this
right.
Roman stuff. You know,
where they did the State of the Union address, you'll see the fascia on the wall in the back. That's straight out of Rome.
And I suspect you see it at many of the capitals throughout the different so-called states. Because I know in California, Right. In yes, California, sir. In Sacramento, the SEAL is a Roman soldier.
Okay. No,
that's
so
right.
I don't think that's a secret. Well, if I had to say so, to me, that's not a secret. Too much Roman
okay.
stuff.
Okay.
Christianity is a Roman thing itself. Christianity.
Right. Right. So in essence, it would be hiding in plain view, because if you ask the average black person, you know, they wouldn't know what they're looking at.
True. Okay, I won't make a comment on that.
Because I didn't know what I was seeing either. You know,
okay.
I mean, and until I got clear on, until Mr. Hart's work was, you know, until I learned of Mr. Hart and his work, there were a lot of things I was confused about.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of symbols that I was walking past every day or every other day.
Okay.
And just didn't pay no attention to it.
Okay. Yeah, so you can go on, but that's not a secret.
Well, I would just point out, you know, in my personal experience, I mean, I had no idea what these symbols meant until they were pointed out to me.
Okay.
All right. Now, I think, Mr. Welch, I think that video series, I think, if I'm not mistaken, did you watch these off of a blog? Or did it come from a blog? Did the link come from a blog at all?
Let's see.
I mean, is he flipping through flip cards, and he's basically just videoing himself flip through all the different information?
There you go. And he has a red pencil?
Right. Okay. Yeah, because
okay.
It's a three-video
mm-hmm.
series. Have you just watched one, or have you watched two and three?
Yeah, I've watched them all. It's
okay.
Very dry. You know, I fell asleep a couple times, but the information therein, I felt like it was going to school, going to class. Hey, you know, of course, I'm taking everything with a grain of salt. You know, just I find it interesting that here it is, this Gentile is, you know, flipping through all of these different, you know, passages in the Bible and pictures
right.
and, you know, making statements and whatnot. So.
Right. And Lord, I think I mentioned this to you a while back. We spoke on it, but even still, even through that series, although much of his information, corroborates with what you have discovered, he still practices the Passover law in the videos.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He still references Jesus Christ as the Savior.
Mm-hmm. But he's not doing anything relative to my work, man. That's actually my work. You know,
right?
Compare him to me. You know,
right. But he does corroborate that, you know, the papacy is in charge. You know what I mean? That part he does corroborate, and he does bring forth evidence. You know?
Well, like I say, that's not a secret, though.
Right.
I said Christianity is a Roman, is of the Roman Empire. The Bible itself is a product of the Roman Empire. But in just about every church, every Christian church, there'll be a Bible. And whoever speaks, as far as pastors and ministers, they'll use some text from that book.
Right.
That book is a product of the Roman Empire.
Well, Mr. Hart.
The Roman Empire is still, as I've said some time ago on my program, very alive and well today. Go ahead, Mr. Welch.
Yes, I would like to ask a question. Do you feel that there is a disconnect amongst the poor man and his people regarding that? In other words, that the Vatican is the head of the church? If you talk to many of us and ask us, what's our denomination or something like that? They'll say Kojic or Baptist or something like that. When in truth, they're none of those things. They are under the Vatican. They are under Roman Catholic rule. Find a disconnect?
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel that there's a disconnect with our people with that fact?
of course, many of us don't know and understand the power of the papacy. All right, that's why. Let me read this statement, okay, if you will.
Yes.
I want to read this statement right here, and that's the reason it's in the book. Give me a moment just to find it, but it's in
take your time.
Proverbs. Okay. It's in Proverbs, and I'm turning to it now. Okay. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 8. It says this. Open thy mouth for the dumb. You speak of a disconnect in speaking of a disconnect knowledge-wise of what's going on, who's in control, etc. That's why this statement is there. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. What did I say in my lecture today? I said the poor don't even know what they need to be saved from. I'm talking about the poor in real life today. They don't even know what they need to be saved from. Dumb. Open thy mouth, that's scripture, for the dumb. Somebody is dumb. And it tells me, open your mouth for the dumb. They don't know. So, open my mouth in teaching, dispensing information to the dumb so that they can know, so that they can have access to knowledge and to truth and to what is really going on, you know? That's the answer. And if you will open your mouth, huh? Let me finish this. And if you will open your mouth for the dumb, and you listening, will open your mouth for the dumb. You know what I'm saying? I believe we can get somewhere. Go ahead.
Mr. Hart, you mean we're not being saved from sin? You mean we're not being saved from eternal damnation and hellfire? I mean, that's what I was taught since being a young child.
Yeah, but they didn't teach you what sin was. Sin is a transgression of the law in the book. Sin is a transgression of the law. That's why it says, you know, you're speaking about a disconnect. This people which know not the law are cursed. Yes, there is a disconnect. There is a lack of knowledge. Another statement says, my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. You know? Of course, the destroyed don't know that they are being destroyed, though. The destroyed don't know anything. The dumb don't know anything. I mean, as far as, you know, real principles of life and Bible thing and all like that, you know. You know? So, they need someone to stand in the gap.
Right. And Mr. Welch, I think the Lord and I share the same definition for dumb. The definition, or I suspect something similar. The definition I use for dumb, sir, is just a lack of foresight and a lack of awareness.
Well, I just had...
Good music. Don't know. Go ahead.
Well, over the weekend, of course, you know, the so-called holiday that came through. You know, I admit I tried my best not to celebrate it.
You mean that thing that's considered ancient history? That happened in 1775, I believe.
Good point.
Okay.
Well, I'll, over the weekend, my brother and sister-in-law were my guests, and the day they were leaving, we were talking over breakfast, and she is a, how should I say, a counselor, if you will, for young girls who are in foster care, I believe, and she ministers to them. So, you know, she goes in with the Bible and talks to them. Well, I felt like she was trying to do that at breakfast on Monday, the last Monday. I'll tell you that, you know, some of the things she said were, they sounded good, but they were highly impractical. And I don't think that there's any reference to any of the points that she was trying to give me during breakfast coming out of the Bible. So I would say that, you know, there are many, many of us as so-called Christians who, I mean, the things that are coming out of their mouth are very creative. And if you don't watch yourself, you will begin to believe that stuff. I hate to put it in that way, but it's still no evidence of what is being said. How practical and applicable is it? Who knows? I just found that to be shocking that you know, these people are so convinced of what they say. And sometimes I think they just make it up on the fly. It's amazing. But, you know, I will say that. I hope I don't sound like I'm bashing, but that's not my intention. But, you know, I want to say today's broadcast just reiterated that you can. It's there. It's in the Bible, the answers. Again, the person would have to unlearn everything that they know and, you know, in other words, empty their cup to be able to receive this. Because if you don't, it's just going to be, there's no room. There's no room for what is being taught around the world right now versus what you teach, Ms. Hart. There's just... what would you say to that, sir? Am I wrong?
I would say there's plenty of room myself. Where there's a need, you know, and one supplies a need, I think there's plenty of room because they don't know. The average one of us don't know. And we can inform them and give them information. All we know is what we were given. That's all we know as a people. And I think truth is, I mean, unless one says that the people are stupid, just downright stupid, I think we have sense. And I think, you know, if they hear the truth, you know, they will believe it. They will receive it. There's a need to hear. But that's my comment on it.
Well, well, I would say we have some very, very clever people behind the pulpit. We see them on TV. We visit them every Sunday. Very clever, very clever, I might add.
Okay. To me, they're very dumb. To me.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, and I know maybe you don't mean clever to be smart. I don't know, but to me, they're dumb. They're going with what they've been given. They haven't found anything out themselves. They are repeating things they've heard. One might can say it, you know, in this way, another say it in a less clever way, but it's still just saying what you've been given. And I think I have something of worth and of note to give people, and I think that there's a great need for it, and I think my information, my offering will fill that need. I mean, no one, let me say this. I don't think of all the people you two may know, I don't think any of those people were more into the Bible or religion, you know, as it is taught, than I was. That's why I studied the Bible, because I was really into it. But another thing, though, I really wanted to know the truth. I really wanted to know what the Bible was about. Now, I don't know whether the average other person is like that or not. I was not only, you know, I wasn't so religious, you know what I'm saying? But what I'm saying is I was involved. I wanted to, if I was going to be a Christian then, and the Bible was the basis, then I wanted to know what that book taught, okay? I don't think anybody you may know was any more into what they are into with regard to Christianity than I was. I don't think so. That's why I studied the Bible. The only difference may be I wanted to know the truth. And as I say and have been saying through the years, I can read now. And I can see whether or not what I was told matches up to what the book says. And in my S&A of the AVB, I began to realize, wow, I was taught this, but the Bible actually teaches this. Okay. And I never did question once I found out something. I never did question it. Okay, if I found it out and searched it out through the Bible, using the Bible as my only, you know, tool and instrument, once I concluded something, that was it. You know, what I'm going to do with it, I'm going to believe it. I don't have any other choice. You know, do I have a mind? Yes, I have a mind. And I want to use my mind. I've always wanted to use my mind. You know what I'm saying? And so, but yes, in short, again, I don't think anybody you may know was any more into their Christianity than I was. I wanted to know what the book was about. Because I wasn't getting much from the preachers, and I listened to all kinds of preachers. Gentiles, there was a time in my life when I was recording up to 4 and 5 different Gentile, you know, gospel teaching programs a day. And I would listen to them at night. I was into it, you know, and couldn't wait for some of them. Couldn't wait till the next day, you know, to hear what they had to say, you know. I was into it. But like I said, during that time, I was also reading and studying it myself. And that's how I began to find out the things that I've found out.
Well, let me ask you this, Mr. Hart. When you were a so-called Christian back then, did anyone ever approach you and challenge, you know, Jesus not being real? Or suggesting that maybe it was plagiarized. I mean, had you ever heard things like that before, and anyone ever challenged it?
Oh yeah, I've heard things like that. I've heard the things that the average person has heard. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. And so, what would be your response to that?
To what?
I mean, you know, when someone would, you know, would make these statements, you know, when you were a so-called Christian. I mean, what would be, you know, your response to it back then?
I mean, I could only go with what I knew. You're talking about before I began to come into the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
I could only go with what I knew. You know what I'm saying? That this is what I was taught. This is what I believe. But I had questions, though. I had questions. I had questions regarding, you know, Jesus being God. I would hear, matter of fact, the church that I attended in Chattanooga, Tennessee, as a young man, the first part of my adult life, he would teach that Jesus was God. And I never did see a clear statement in the Bible that said Jesus was God. And so that bothered me. And as well as, I'm pretty sure there were probably other things, but, you know, I remember that always from the top of my head, you know, that I always questioned inside myself, you know, why do they say Jesus is God? And so I would say it too, you know what I'm saying? But just because I heard them say it, you know. But but like I said, that's why I studied. And my studying was fruitful. It paid off. I found out the truth that the Bible espouses and that it sets forth, puts forth. I was very fruitful. And my key Robert, you know, led me to the truth. And then as I would see truth, I was not afraid to adopt it and put down the old. You know, yeah, I mean, you know, came the time Jesus had to go. Let it go. Not a real character. Fictitious. Whatever the truth was that I found out, you know what I'm saying? I adopted it. But the point is, I was just like everybody else, the average other person, you know, in religion or involved in Christianity, just like the average other person, you know, only going with what I was told. But I didn't stop there because what I was told was not sufficient to me. If it had been sufficient, I wouldn't have had to study so hard. It was insufficient. Like you can tell some people anything, you know what I'm saying, and they believe it. And I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal or nothing. I studied because I was dumb. You want to know the real answer why I studied the Bible? Because I was dumb to it. I didn't know it. I acknowledged that I did not know it. Never knew that I'd come to all these findings that I've come to and understandings and revelations and all like that. Never knew that. But what I did know that I don't understand the Bible, and I studied the Bible in order to get an understanding. And it paid off. Paid off for me. And to me, that's
we
wonderful.
We have about... Oh, sorry. Government cut you off. I just wanted to say that we have about 6 minutes left in the library, or in the archives broadcast.
Okay, good. Yes, and to me, that was wonderful. Every little thing I found out. You know, now a lot of things that I found out probably during the course of the 39 years now of Bible scrutiny and analysis, you'll probably never hear me say. What you hear me teach on is just the big findings, you know. But I had to understand a lot of different statements in the Bible in order to come to the findings and realizations that I've come to. A whole lot has gone into the study. That I guess I'll never, you know, never state up or speak on. Because in order to understand the things that I've come to understand, you have to know there's a lot of other little things that you needed to know in order to come to the big findings and understanding, you know. So, but I'm glad for the study the SNA of the AVB because my study has yielded much understanding, much wisdom and knowledge of Bible content, and that was the goal. Never would have thought that I would actually, you know, break the code, if you will, to the Bible. Just sought to understand some things about. And lo and behold. And the thing about
this
it
is,
huh?
Well, I just wanted to say real quickly, and the code indeed, and this is more riveting than the so-called Da Vinci code.
Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm just excited about that and excited about my findings and want to, of course, share my findings with the world. And I appreciate, you know, both of your help, both of you in helping me to do that, you know. I saw a sign a long time ago as a young man that said something to this effect. That if you want to be successful, find a need and fill it. The Bible says that the papacy and Gentiles have fooled the whole world. They've deceived the whole world. The whole world is there for me, you know, with the knowledge, with this knowledge and all. I believe truth can prevail. Truth can prevail. Truth will prevail. Fill a need. Provide truth. There was a need for truth, and I want to fill that need. Any one of you? And it may be hard. It may be hard. It may be hard.
I feel the same way. I feel the same way, sir.
Mm-hmm. People may not be turning every day and every day. But you know what? From the downloads, somebody is lit from the downloads. Maybe the downloads are a lie. I don't know. Somebody is listening. One man said last week after the program that he was, searching Blog Talk, you know, with different speakers and all like that, and stopped at 9. I don't know how long he stopped by there, by my page, however you say it, but he wound up ordering a document, you know. I received his funds for the document the other day, and I mailed him off a copy yesterday. You know, what he'll do with it, I don't know. Did he listen today, or will he listen to the broadcast again? I don't know. But somebody is listening. Somebody is listening, you know. And you never know where your voice will go. You never know who will hear that voice. But you just got to keep that voice out there. Like I kept searching for truth, and eventually I found it. We keep the voice out there. We keep it out there. We can't win souls if it's not out there. But if we keep it out there, we can win, and we can be victorious. You know?
And I think we should leave it right there. We have come to the end of today's broadcast.